Well, good morning. I have my a reading this morning. It's lucky I have it. I arrived in the Tri-Cities and I realized that my reading had disappeared from my folder. It's about leprechauns. And I think they might have had a little problem because it reveals a lot of information about leprechauns. They might have said, you know, something like, "What's that little Italian fella doing talking about our secrets?" Something along those lines. So kindly, members of the Committee on Ministry brought me three copies. I sent it to them. They brought me three copies and I squirreled them in different places so the leprechauns could steal two and I'd still have one. And they didn't get this one, little devils. So Tom was walking through a meadow one day when he heard clackety, clackety, click. Tom thought that was an odd sound to hear in the middle of nowhere, so he stood on tiptoes, peered over a gray stone wall, and sure enough, he saw a wee little man wearing a cocked hat on his head and a leather apron. The man was drinking from a pitcher and pounding away with a tiny little hammer on a wee little shoe. Tom had never believed in leprechauns. But suddenly, there was one right before his eyes, and he knew all about them. He knew that if he could fool one, he'd be rich, because he knew that leprechauns guard pots of gold. He knew if he could catch this fella and if he asked where his treasure was, the leprechaun would have to take him there. But he knew he must never let him out of his sight, not for one second, or he would disappear. So keeping his eyes on that little old man, Tom walked forward and said, "God bless you, neighbor." The leprechaun looked up and said, "Thank you." Tom asked why he was working on a holiday. It was St. Patrick's Day, you see. The little man just shook his head. "Nobody's business," he said. But he did offer to share his beer. When Tom heard that, well, he knew this was a real live leprechaun because they make homemade beer. Quick as a flash, Tom reached for the leprechaun and caught him by the arm. He spilled all the beer from the pitcher, and when the leprechaun looked up, he saw a different Tom, a fellow who looked mighty wicked. Tom told the leprechaun he'd harm him if he didn't show him where his treasure was buried. So the leprechaun said, "Come along, it's just a few fields away." And off they went, Tom holding the leprechaun tight, never taking his eye off him. They crossed hedges and bogs and ditches. Everyone knows the leprechaun was only trying to make the journey harder than he had to. At long last, they came to a field full of ragweed or bullion. And the leprechaun pointed to one of the plants and said, "Dig under that, that's where my gold's buried." But Tom didn't have a spade, neither did the leprechaun. So he knew he'd have to run home to fetch one. He thought a minute, how would he remember which bullion it was? Then he grinned. He took off one of his garters, a red one it was, and he tied it around the bullion. Then he set the leprechaun free, and he ran for home. He got a spade out of his father's barn. He raced back across the field. But when he got there, what do you know? Every single bullion was wearing a bright red garter, one identical to his very own. And he knew that if he wanted to find the treasure, he'd have to dig up that whole field. So Tom went home, cursing the leprechaun every step of the way. And that's a true story. More or less. Maybe a wee bit less than more. Let's rise in body or spirit and sing hymn number 163, "For the Earth Forever Turning." 163. Did you know that blue was originally the color associated with St. Patrick's Day? But that changed over the years to green, the way things do. Now it turns out that all the time those things were happening with Tom and the leprechaun and the pot of gold, Maeve McGee was watching from a nearby tree she'd climbed. She was a little girl who had that bright red hair that seems to glow in the sun. But she'd kept herself hidden in the leaves. She saw how Tom had been fooled, so she made a plan and took to hiding in the tree every day, always making sure to keep a spade right with her. Then one day she saw him. He was drinking from a pitcher, pounding away with a tiny little hammer on a wee little shoe. Maeve tipped close, and she reached out and grabbed him tightly. "I've got you," she cried, grinning ear to ear. "Now show me where you've hidden your gold." The leprechaun could see the determination on her face, plain as the freckles. "You want my gold, do you?" he said warily. I do, Maeve said firmly. And what would a wee girl do with such a big treasure? Share it with everyone, Maeve said. All the people who need money and things. The leprechaun just looked at her, amazed. He'd been caught plenty of times, and he tricked his way out of many traps, but no one had ever talked of sharing the big crock of gold. Everyone talked about building a mansion, or buying a big plot of land, or having jewels, or saving their gold for some day when they'd want to buy something big and special. He was so surprised that he led Maeve to his pot of gold, and she began to dig. And when she began to dig, he took that spade and he dug it up himself. Just like she promised, Maeve took that pot of gold and shared it with everyone. At least, that's the story that Maeve McGee tells. Well, telling stories, as you may have guessed, is my favorite part of the work that I do, the golden part. Even if Maeve McGee never met a leprechaun, there's real gold in the story that she shares. There might never be enough to pay for everything people need, but stories are like a pot of gold that can be shared around the whole wide world, dipped into for generations and generations without ever running out. Sometimes I can tell a story from my own life and hope it'll inspire you to reach down into the pot and pull up one of your own stories or memories. I can share a memory and then maybe you'll remember something that you had almost forgotten. That happens often after a service. People come up to me and they're reminded of something. Which reminds me, besides catching a leprechaun, where else can you find a pot of gold? The rainbow. Where on a rainbow? At the end of a rainbow. Not at the top, but at the end of a rainbow. That's right. That's right. The end of a rainbow. Now, here's a memory. When our own leprechaun had begun to walk and talk, my wife Pam and I sometimes found ourselves missing those days when we could lull him to sleep by putting him in the stroller and walking around the neighborhood or just around and around the living room if it was raining. Something could happen sometimes in Salem. We had to find other ways to tire him out so we could have some adult time. I confess that I sometimes used to take the little leprechaun outside and get him to play fetch like a puppy. He couldn't catch yet, but he could run and get the ball. Good boy! Good boy, bring it to Daddy. Over and over. Cruel, you might think, but effective. Then one day we found something even better. I was heading outside with my boy and the ball when a rainbow appeared looking like it was just down the street a few blocks away. I said to Saad, "Look, wouldn't you like to touch it?" "You bet he would." "Touch that!" he yelled and started running. "Touch that!" One block, two blocks, on two very short legs. A cloud hid the sun for a minute or two. No rainbow. Then there it was again. "Touch that! Touch that!" This time, it was not a puppy. It was more like a kitten chasing a spot of light from a laser pointer. I had to carry him home. But what a nice nap followed. You can't really reach the end of a rainbow, can you? Not the end of any part of it. As you approach, the rainbow always seems to move away from you. Can you get behind one? I suppose you can. I suppose that we've all spent time behind the rainbow that beckons to the people who are coming our way. We just can't see it ourselves. Come to think of it, where's the rest of the circle? Which the arc that we see suggests, not even quite half, is it? Is the rest of the circle lying on the surface of the earth on which we travel? Or does it continue underground, at least the invisible parts of the spectrum? I know some of the physicists here are going to go and start working that out, I'm sure, at home. But have you ever wondered? I wonder if we could think of the rainbow as a one-sided object, like a Möbius strip. You see one on the cover of your order of service. It was named after the German mathematician who discovered it in the 19th century. You give a strip of paper a simple 180-degree twist, join both ends with tape or glue, and you get a one-sided object, or more correctly, a surface with one continuous side. It's also an object with some curious properties. And look, I happen to have one right here. I found it out there among the Boleans, right along with Tom's red garters. If you took a simple length of paper and cut it lengthwise with a pair of scissors down the middle, a simple ring, right? You'd get two thinner rings, right? But look at what happens here. Notice at no time do my scissors leave the paper. This is a long way. There you go. So what do you think we're going to get? One two-sided object. I don't know if Tom will have any use for this. What if you tried to cut it lengthwise into three? Look here, another Mobius strip. If anybody needs red garters, there are a lot of them outside. Let's try it. So what happens now? We're from this side now. Can't believe I'm still cutting here, keeping you all waiting. Did you see that? Okay. Instead of three objects, we only get two, a two-sided object linked together with a one-sided one. Now, I'm sure that a Christian mathematician could spin out a long discourse on the Holy Trinity from this bit of paper. Something about how God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit could be one, two, three, all at the same time. Much like St. Patrick is said to have done with the three-leaf shamrock to explain it to the pagan Irish, who are a bit baffled by this idea of the Holy Trinity. But all that high theology is a bit too much for me. I'm a simple person. I'm still thinking about rainbows and leprechauns, how hard it would be to reach the end of one or to catch the other, since neither seems to really exist out there among the Boleans. The Irish had plenty of the Holy Trinity, but very little of anything else, as they endured long years of famine, colonization, oppression, and for many, immigration to a land where they'd be exploited for cheap labor and regarded with contempt. There's a sad irony to all that business about rainbows, leprechauns, and pots of gold. Sure, that's all you need to do now. Find the one or catch the other. That's the luck of the Irish for many of us still today, isn't it? Nothing fit for a greeting card, maybe, but fine for a story you could tell in a church, where the happy and the sad are both always welcome. Well, I'm grateful that we can tell all kinds of stories here. Even if they're not all cute and funny, we appreciate them for the many different kinds of gold that we can find inside. Now, if telling stories is my favorite part of the work that I do, can you guess my least favorite part? Here's a clue. It's almost exactly 270 miles from my house to this house where we've gathered today. Almost exactly the same distance as it was to the last church that I served. Total all those drives, and they take you around the world many times over. Take a lot longer than cutting that Mobius strip. I'm a pretty safe driver, or a pretty lucky one. Only 2 tickets in over 40 years of driving. I do my best to keep the prescribed 1 car length for every 10 miles per hour between mine and the other vehicles. I wish I could say the same for everyone. I can't tell you how many crazy maneuvers I've witnessed. I can tell you, however, how many times I've had not 1, but 2 flat tires on the same trip. 3. I kept Vicky waiting after one of those. Once I pulled into town here and heard an ominous hissing. I got out and discovered that the rubber had delaminated from the steel belts on 2 of my tires, coming off in ribbons like old Tom's garters. I discovered later that those tires had been recalled, but for a recall to be effective, you actually have to inform the customers that you've sold the product to. No such luck for me. I felt almost Irish. Faith in Nagora. What I hate most about driving is something that happens frequently in the winter, getting drowned in the spray from the other vehicles. I see the heads going now, right? I'm sure this has happened to you, especially if you drive a low-riding, compact car. There will be a semi-truck or 2 or 3 or a whole line of them in front of you, throwing enough spray for salmon to swim through the air alongside the Columbia, taking I-84 instead of the river. Sometimes I roll down a river and net one as we go. We have that for dinner. You believe in leprechauns, but not that. But seriously, it's an awful thing to experience. As you know, sometimes you're driving almost blind, hoping that no one else does something sudden, trusting to your luck, trusting that your luck will be the good kind, enough to get you home. It's one thing for this to happen, as I'm sure you also know, when the skies are solidly gray. It's quite another when there are sun breaks. Word I never even knew in the Midwest, sun breaks. When almost blind means dazzled too, so that there's almost nothing almost about it. Worst of all is when you're headed into the sun like I am, when headed west on Sunday, late in the day when the sun is slanting. I dread driving the gorge after dark, but I also get scared when leaving the shade of the mountains on days like that. Having a cup of coffee when I reach 205 helps me stay alert. But there's something in my heart like a prayer that nothing will happen in all that spray and sunlight to change my life. But one day, of course, it did. What kind of church story would this be if it didn't? I just gotten onto I-5. For the final stretch home. The rain was pouring, trucks and cars were kicking up an awful spray, and the sky was dark at first. Then out came the sun, and I began to brace for trouble. But there was no way that I could brace myself for what happened next. There was a rainbow, almost directly in front of the southbound lanes, one end of it coming right down to the highway, far down the road, and staying far, the way that rainbows do, like we've spoken of before. And then came a little curve, a slight change of angle, and then the bottom of the rainbow bent, extended down along the highway, and came straight to my car. Straight to me. There I was, at the end of the rainbow, bathed in it. Part of it. This phenomenon continued for several minutes, at least 5, I think. It wasn't just me, but everyone else on the road that day. Excuse me. Unless there was something peculiar about the lane that I was in or the curve of my windshield, each and every driver headed south was immersed in the rainbow. In the rainbow and presumably in the same state of wonder that I was experiencing. Not one single driver in the northbound lanes could have been aware of this. This is not something that happens every day. It's really not supposed to happen at all, but it's true. So, what am I supposed to do with this story? Being a citizen of the 21st century, the first thing I did when I got home was to check the internet to see if anyone else had reported experiencing something like this. I quickly found a blog site with a photo of exactly what I'd seen, starting with a quote from Wikipedia, the source of all true knowledge. And said, "The Irish leprechaun's secret hiding place for his pot of gold is usually said to be at the end of the rainbow. This place is impossible to reach because the rainbow is an optical effect which depends on the location of the viewer. When walking towards the end of a rainbow, it will move farther away." And now the blogger, who calls himself Science Dude, reflects, if it's in Wikipedia, it must be true, right? And then he continues talking about the photo. "Several readers have said in the comments section that they think this image was photoshopped, but it appears that this image is genuine. I've now had it reviewed by 7 people, 3 veteran photographers, a top-notch graphic designer who specializes in Photoshop, and 3 meteorologists at the National Weather Service. We also uploaded the image to Flickr and checked the latitude and longitude of the image, which was taken with an iPhone. The info says the photo was taken where the reader said it was taken." Science Dude then, for the sake of transparency, names all the photo experts, graphic artists, and meteorologists who reviewed the image. Good idea. Who's going to believe it? If the rainbow is an optical effect that ordinarily retreats when we approach, then this must be another one. Obviously, it had something to do with all the spray being kicked up by thousands of cars driving through the rain at just the right moment, at just the right angle to the sun blazing right between the parting clouds. But an explanation is not a story. An explanation is not a story. The story is that there I was at the end of the rainbow. Or call it a bend of the rainbow, scooping me up along with everyone else on the road. Maybe you can't reach the end of the rainbow unless it reaches out for you. The whole thing curving back and forth on itself like a Mobius strip. Now, what's supposed to be at the end of a rainbow? Pot of gold. A pot of gold, a treasure, something preposterously valuable. It would take all of the elements of the universe combining in just the right way to bring something like that into being. And there you are. There you are. There you really, truly are, a treasure nestled in a bend in the fabric of being itself. A rainbow blend of so many things intersecting at just the right angle. So many things coming together so impossibly right for you to be here now. Right here. Right now. Pot of gold after pot of gold. Row by curving row. It's no surprise that I and my fellow drivers didn't stop that day just to take in the wonder of finding ourselves at the end of the rainbow. Maybe we had to stay in motion to experience it. I'm not sure. But we did need to keep moving in order to stay safe and keep that correct distance between us. It's no wonder that we didn't stop to wonder out there on I-5 doing 70 at least. But we can stop to wonder here. That's what this place is for. To stop and wonder. Say wonder.
Wonder.
Say wow. Wow. That's the sound symbol for wondering. Wow. Feel what happens in your chest when you say wow. Wow. Now say anger. Anger. Just pause on the second part. Anger. Feel what happens in your chest there. Let's relieve it. Wow. Wow. Wonder. Language is amazing stuff. We can stop to wonder here. That's what this place is for. And now is the time of the year when we're all asked to stop and reach into whatever pot of gold we have, the gold of our talent, our service, and our material treasure, to maintain our place here at the end of the rainbow and to help it grow. Keep those spades of yours ready. Keep those spades of yours ready. We have plans. We have plans. Remember what happened to Tom when he didn't have his spade. There's work to be done. And that's part of the fun. Now, I understand that we're due today, I see in the order of service, we're due today for a visit from the stewardship leprechaun. Now, where could that little fella be? Where's the little fella? Where's that stewardship leprechaun? Where's he hiding? Ah, there he is. And here's our friend Mark to tell us about some more things we need to know.
You people all thought that I was very tall, but really I'm a wee person. We are beginning our stewardship time of the year. That usually involves some sort of filling out of some forms with numbers on them. But we wanted to do a little bit more of getting to know each other, and so we're going to do it in a little bit different format this year. We are going to be, each of the board members is going to be getting a list of the people, members of the community, and we're going to be passing around a packet, a Pony Express packet, you might say, from person to person to fill out. But we're looking for more than just you filling out a form. We're looking for your ideas and for a little bit of conversation maybe between you and the person that you pass off the packet to. We're going to have a form in there, something resembling this, that's going to ask you the question. Where do I want Community Unitarian Universalist Church to be in 5 years? You get to put your name and your idea. And you don't get to use Joy in Service right here, right now, because that's already used. So be thinking about that. Be prepared. Somebody's going to come to you with a packet. Yes, there'll be paperwork to fill out, but they're going to be looking for your ideas and maybe a thought of where you think you can contribute into this community. So, again, board members will be contacting people. They may come up with some different, each board member may come up with a slightly different format on how to share that, but basically it'll be a packet of paperwork, but ideas that hopefully you can pass on to each other. So be looking forward to that. If you don't get anybody contacting you, or if you are not a member of the church and want to be part of this, I would like you to talk to Scott. Scott, I want you to raise your hand, and he will make sure that you get included on the chain, on the Pony Express chain. So thank you, and be expecting it, and think about where you would like this community to be in 5 years.